The Mishnah tells us on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis that Rav Gamliel, after he lost his wife, he washed his body, and his Talmidim asked him, but you taught us that an Avel is not permitted to wash himself, there's an Isur Achitza, and his response was that I am an Istinus. We're looking at Tosus, the Ramaschal Istinus, and Tosus points out something that's very important for three different areas of Halacha, not one, not two, but three. And that is how to define Rechitza. What's considered washing? And Tosus postulates that there are two categories of rechitza. There's something called a rechitza shel tainug, for the purpose of pleasure, and there's something called rechitza she'ena shel tainug. And Tosus says that nafkamina is going to be in three areas. Number one, as far as the iser rechitza in avelus, and that's an important distinction that Tosus makes, that an avel is prohibited from rechitza. In the case of Rav Gamliel, since his rechitza was not l'shem tainug, but because he was an istinus, it was lafuki tsar, therefore it was mutter during avelus. Then we go on, Tosus says, to the halacha of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av likewise has an iser rechitza, because on Tisha B'Av we have five categories of inui. And that's the way we're makayim the mitzvah of Tainus on Tisha B'Av. And those five Yisurei Inui include also Rechitza. And Tosus says that on Tisha B'Av, and he has a proof text, in a case of Rechitza She'ena Shel Tainug, that Rechitza would be permissible on Tisha B'Av. And he has the case of Irbuvye Bereshe. He's removing different things from his hair. It's not a classical case of Rechitza Shel Tainug. And that rechitza, if it's not shel tainug, is muteres on Tisha B'Av. The third category, which is in a sense the most far-reaching and the biggest chiddush of Tosus, is Yom HaKippurim. And Tosus points out that on Yom Kippur there's a heter to do sicha, if that sicha is ena shel tainug. Even though sicha is one of the five inuyim, and according to almost all Rishonim, there are a few exceptions, sicha, like rechitza, and all the five categories of inuyim are doraisa. So we're dealing with an isa doraisa, not to make light of it. And yet Tosus postulates, l'shitaso, that sicha, she'ena shel tainug, muteres, biyom HaKippurim. So basically we could summarize Tosus by saying that with regard to rechitza and sicha, two categories of inuy, we have a consistent halacha. We make no distinctions. Wherever the Torah prohibits inui, for example, in Avelus, whether it's Tisha B'Av, whether it's Yom Kippur, in all these cases, we have to make a fundamental distinction between shel tainug, rechitza or sicha shel tainug, as opposed to rechitza or sicha she'ena shel tainug. And we've discussed this in the past. The Rambam, on the other hand, and you'll see this on the second source of Yomar Makomos, in Hilchas Shvisas Asur, in Perek Gimel Halacha Tes, the Rambam goes out of his way, as if he knows Tosus, but he wants to exclude Tosus, and he says that with regard to Sicha, Asur Lasuch Miktas Gufo Kechol Gufo, and it's Bein Sicha Shel Tainug, Bein Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug. The Rambam has only one exception with regard to Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug, but as a universal rule, the Rambam seems to postulate that Sicha is prohibited on Yom HaKippurim, Bein Shel Tainug, Bein She'ena Shel Tainug. And in that sense, the Rambam deviates from Tosus, which is okay. I mean, the Rambam is a Rishon, he's from Chachmei Sfarad, he can argue with Tosus. He doesn't have to accept Tosus. The strange thing, however, is that the Rambam, grants Tosus ground when it comes to Tisha B'Av. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainius in the fifth parak, Halacha Yud, which is dedicated to that whole chapter is dedicated to the various categories of Inui, which are prohibited on Tisha B'Av. The Rambam says, Asur b'sicha shel tainuk. Here the Rambam, like Tosus, restricts the prohibition of sicha only to sicha shel tainug, accepting that sicha she'ena shel tainug muteres be Tisha B'Av. And this really leads us to our question, namely, what's the difference between Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av. On the one hand, with regard to Yom Kippur, the Rambam postulates that there's no difference between Sicha Shel Tainug and Sicha Sheina Shel Tainug, and therefore the Rambam prohibits even a Sicha Sheina Shel Tainug. Whereas in the case of Tisha B'Av, we don't know exactly what the Rambam would say in Avelus, but let's assume that in Avelus, like in Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says that the Issa Sicha is restricted to Sicha Shel Tainug. And of course, we raise the possibility that there's a difference between an Issa D'Oraisa and an Issa D'Rabbanan. But perhaps today, in the light of the opening introduction of the Rambam to Hilchos Yom HaKippurim to Shvisas Asur, we can really shed a whole other light on this distinction, this contrast between Yom Kippur on the one hand and Tisha B'Av on the other. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Shvisas Asur, speaks about the concept of Shvisa. And he dedicates the first three halachas to Hilchos Shvisas Asur to Shvisa Mimalacha. We know that just like on Shabbos, where there's a mitzvah of Shvisa and we're enjoined from 39 categories of labor, so too on Yom HaKippurim, with certain nuances of differences, Yom HaKippurim, like Shabbos, has a mitzvah of Shvisa, which means that a person has to be shoveis from Malacha on Shabbos. He has to desist from these categories of labor on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Okay, on Shabbos is an Issur Skila, Yom HaKippurim is only an Issur Kares, but nevertheless, you know, that's not, you know, that doesn't calm us down too much. There's a very fascinating discussion in the Netziv Mivalajin about what the status of Malachas Ochel Nefesh is on Yom HaKippurim. We know on Yontif as opposed to Shabbos, Malachas Ochel Nefesh is permissible. But in the case of Yom HaKippurim, where the five categories of Inui preclude any sort of Ochel Nefesh, what would be the status of Malachas of Ochel Nefesh on Yom HaKippurim? And basically, it really...
For a child or something?
Yeah, like, would there be a Malacha of Bishul on Yom HaKippurim? You see, Yom HaKippurim, as you all know, is midway between Shabbos and Yontif. And the question is how to define that midway. But then the Rambam gets to Halacha Dalet, and here he's no longer focused on Malacha on Yom HaKippurim, but rather on a whole different dimension of Yom HaKippurim, and that's Inui. And the Rambam delineates, first and foremost, the Issur Achila and the Issur Shasiya, which the Rambam says the violation of which incurs a Chiyuv Kares, it's a very severe violation, and then the Rambam expands it to include the other four categories of Inui, making up five categories of Inui. And all these categories are prohibited on Yom Kippur, but the Rambam adds another twist. And the Rambam says that these categories of Inui are prohibited on Yom Kippur, not b'toras Issur Tainus, but for a different reason entirely, and that's because of Shvisa. And the Rambam writes, Mitzvahs Aseh Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim, in addition to the mitzvah of Shvisa from the 39 categories of Malach, there's another mitzvah of Shvisa, V'hi Lishbos Bo Me'achila U'Shasiyah. And the Rambam now is telling us, the Gevaldige Chiddush, that the mitzvah of Shvisa, which by the way, according to the Rambam, defines the nature of Yom HaKippurim. You know, we call the day Yom Kippur. Others call it Yom Tzom. My father-in-law calls it Yom Kadosh, you know, because he comes from a Hasidic background, and they call it the Yom Kadosh. But the Rambam calls it by a different name entirely, Shvisas Asar. It's the 10th day of the month of Tishrei, and it's a Shvisa. That's Shvisa, which means to desist, which means, in a sense, to rest, is what defines the day itself. And the Rambam now tells us that the mitzvah of Shvisa on Yom Kippur is not limited to the 39 categories of Malacha, as it would be on Shabbos or on Yontif, but rather expands and extends to include the five categories of Inui. The five categories of Inui have to be left out on Yontif and on Yom Kippur. And that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Shvisa. Again, in Halacha Dalet, he limits itself to two categories, namely Achil and Shasir, which really makes up one category. But then in the very next Halacha, Halacha Hey, he expands it the mitzvah of shvisa to include not just achila and shesia, but also the other four categories of inui. V'chein lamadnu mipi hashmua, says the Rambam, shasur lirchol tzbo o lasuch o linos asando livol, and all this is included, says the Rambam, in the mitzvah of shvisa. Mitzvah lishbos mikol elu kederek sheshoves meachila ushesia. And this Rambam is the basis for the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim HaRambam now classify the Rambam together with all the other Rishonim against a few dissenting Rishonim as maintaining that all five categories of Inui are Doraisa. Not just Achil and Shasiya, but even Sicha, Nil, Sasan, Rechitza, Tashmashit, they're all Doraisa. But fascinating, the Rambam says they're Doraisa under the mitzvah of Shvisa. And just like Achila and Shasiya is a mitzvah of Shasiya, a mitzvah of Shvisa, that means the mitzvah of Shvisa obligates me and is fulfilled by abstaining from Achila and Shasiya. The abstention from Achila and Shasiya is not because I have to achieve some sort of state of tainus. It's not because tainus engenders an Isra Achila and Shasiya, says the Rambam. Forget about tainus. Shvisas Aser comes under a different category and a different essence. And that is the mitzvah of Shvisa, which entails being shoveis from Malacha and being shoveis from Achil and Shasiya. So when a person fasts on Yom Kippur, forget about the mitzvah of Tainus for the time being. Leave that in the background. He is Mekayim the mitzvah of Shvisa. The Torah defines this day as Shabbos Shabboson. And the Sifri makes the comment, which I think is the background to this Rambam, what Shabbos Shabboson, the double language. Shoveis mi malacha, v'shoveis mi achila and shesia. And the Rambam goes ahead and tells us that not only is the mitzvah of shvisa extended to include achila and shesia, it even applies to the four categories of inui besides achila and shesia. Is Rabosai, in the light of this Rambam, I think we have a beautiful insight and a beautiful reconciliation of the apparent contradiction in the Rambam between the laws of Yom Kippur and the laws of Tisha B'Av. On the one hand, with regard to Yom Kippur, the Rambam includes even Sicha She'ena Shel Tainu. In contrast, with regard to Tisha B'Av, the Rambam restricts, he limits the Isur of Sicha to Sicha Shel Tainu. So when we compare the two Rambams, the first one was Perek Gimel Halacha Tes in Hilchos Shvisa Sasa, the second is Perek Hei Halacha Yud in Hilchos Tainius, we seem to be knocking our head against the wall with a contradiction. The Rambam should be very consistent. If he accepts Tosfos lock and barrel, which means that our definition of Sicha is a universal one and is limited to Sicha Shel Tainug, and that's the way Tosfos goes very consistently, then the Rambam should have said that Sicha Shel Tainu, to the extent that it is permissible on Tisha B'Av, should be permissible on Yom Kippur. If, on the other hand, the Rambam wants to reject Shitas HaTosfos, and he wants to expand that definition of Sicha, and include on the Sicha any Sicha whatsoever, even Sicha She'ena Shel Tainu, and that's why in Yom Kippur he prohibits Sicha She'ena Shel Tainu, he should have consistently applied that definition to Tisha B'Av as well. But the answer is, Rabosai, there's a fundamental difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av has something called Tainus, but it doesn't have a mitzvah of Shvisa. The mitzvah of Shvisa doesn't surface with regard to Tisha B'Av. What we have on Tisha B'Av is Tainus. Tainus in Milosh and Inui. A person has to be in a state of Inui. The flip side of Inui. And here Tosfos and the Rambam are together on the same page, is Tainug. Tainug is the antithesis, if you will, the exact opposite of Inui. If you have to achieve a state of Inui, then don't involve yourself in Tainug, in Hanoah. Those pleasures and those Idunim are antithetical to the state of Tainus. But the Rambam in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim has a different basis. and that's going to preclude him from allowing you a sicha she'ena shel tainug on Yom Kippur. Let's review. According to Tosfos, I can permit a sicha she'ena shel tainug not just on Tisha B'Av, but even on Yom HaKippurim, because Tosfos defines the essence of Yom Kippur like that of Tisha B'Av as a tainus. In fact, the tainus par excellence, you know, your personification of the concept of tainus and halach is Yom HaKippurim. So Tosfos says, our definition of inui on Yom HaKippurim and our definition of inui on a tainus tzibur, namely on Tisha B'Av, have to be identical. And the flip side of inui is sicha shel tainug, but sicha sheina shel tainug does not undermine my kiyum tainus. Says the Rambam, I'm willing to agree with you, Tosfos. I'll go hand in hand with you when it comes to Tisha B'Av, because the essence of Tisha B'Av Enoch Inami is tainus. But that's not the essence of Yom HaKippurim. The essence of Yom HaKippurim is the mitzvah of Shvisa. The Torah defines categories and says that these categories have to be avoided on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, desist. On Yom Kippur, rest and refrain from these categories. Anything that constitutes a Maisa Sicha has to be avoided on Yom Kippur, because any involvement in a Maisa Sicha on Yom Kippur would undermine the mitzvah of Shvisa. Therefore, says the Rambam, when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the essence of Yom HaKippurim is the mitzvah of Shvisa, Mikoach Shvisa, Machmas mitzvah Shvisa. I have to avoid these categories. These categories are all inclusive. You can add an adjective to describe your sicha or your achitza, but that adjective, no matter what you call it, shaltainug or sheina shaltainug, does not undermine the definition, the basic fundamental definition of the maisa. The maisa is a maisa sicha. The maisa is a maisa tainus. And therefore, is a maisa sicha or a maisa achitza, says the Rambam. Oh, if you're defining it as a maisa achitza, as a maisa sicha, you're adding the description, but it's Eina Shel Tainug. I'm doing it for this reason. I'm an Istinus removing my tzar. I've got Chatotim Barosho and I'm removing this. Says the Rambam, it matters not. Because when the Torah says Shvisa, these actions, these pa'ulos are well defined, and they are antithetical to Yom HaKippurim, because the essence of Yom HaKippurim is a day of Shvisa. Shvisa not just from Malacha, but Shvisa from five categories. Ah, says the Rambam, you know what? I can accept Tosfos' definition when it comes to Tisha B'Av. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you're talking about a whole different definition. There is no mitzvah Shvisa on Tisha B'Av. The concept of mitzvah Shvisa is totally foreign to Tisha B'Av. In Tisha B'Av, all we have are Isurei Inui. Because the Surah Inui, if they are violated, undermine the day as a day of tainus. Says Tosfos here, says the Rambam here, I can accept Tosfos' definition. If you're involved in a Sicha She'eino Shel Tainug, that doesn't undermine the mitzvah of Inui and the mitzvah of tainus. But in Yom Kippur, says the Rambam, the Torah went a step further, and the Torah said that there's an overriding or overarching mitzvah of Shvisa, and that overarching mitzvah of Shvisa tells you avoid any activity which defines itself under the category Shvisa. So the Torah gave us, and it's all Doraisa, in addition to Malacha, five categories that come under the mitzvah of Shvisa. Ah, the Rambam now is very consistent. Says the Rambam, in Perek Gimel, Mehilcha Shvisas Asur, is Asur Lasuch, Bein Sicha Shel Tainug, Bein Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug, because when it comes to the mitzvah of Shvisa, we have to be mekayim the mitzvah Shvisa by avoiding anything that has a Chalul Shem Sicha, and whether or not it's Shel Tainug, whether it's pursued for pleasure or it's pursued for other purposes, it doesn't matter. The Etzem HaMaisa has the Chalul Shem Sicha, and it undermines the mitzvah of what? Of Shvisa. Not so in the case of Tainus. There, Tisha B'Av as a Chovas Tainus doesn't have any mitzvah of Shvisa. You don't have to refrain from the Guf HaMaisa, but rather you have to avoid anything that will undermine the state of Inui, any Tainug, any Sicha Shel Tainug, which is antithetical to the state of Inui. has to be avoided. And therefore, Abosai, I would submit to you that on Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam would certainly extend the Isur Rechitza. Again, until now in Perek Gimel, we've been discussing the Isur of Sicha. Let's begin to analyze in our minds and anticipate what the Rambam should be telling us in the light of everything that we discussed with regard to the Isur Rechitza. Would there be, according to the Rambam, any room to allow a rechitza sheina shel tainug? Tosus, after all, says rechitza sheina shel tainug. You know, I'm not shampooing my hair for the sake of pleasure. I'm shampooing it to get rid of the lice in my hair or whatever it is. Those who know what I'm referring to, if you've raised children here in this country, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You remember those little combs? You know, okay, we won't go into it now. But in any event, therefore, would the Rambam allow for any allowance, any leniency, the way Tosus would be with regard to Rechitza? On Yom HaKippurim, would he extend the Isur Rechitza to Rechitza Sheina Shel Tainug? And what's the answer? Yes, he would. Let's take a look at the Rambam. I want to show you the Rambam inside. The Rambam is in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph for Abosai. We're looking and rewinding the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, Perek Gimel, but back to Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Asur lirchotz b'yom HaKippurim bein b'chamin bein b'tzonen bein kol gufo bein ever echad afilu etzpektana asur lohoshita b'mayin. Ribono Shel Olam, what great tainug do I have from placing a finger into cold water? But the Rambam says it doesn't matter, because any of those actions are defined as what? A Maisa Rechitza. And a Maisa Rechitza is prohibited on Yom Kippur by virtue of the mitzvah of what? Of Shvisa. The Torah says, Tishbos, mi kol pu'ula, mitoch hameshes apulos. Any of these actions, whether it be Sicha, whether it be Rechitza, that is something that has to be left out. I have to refrain from Rechitza just like I refrain from Sicha on Yom HaKippur by virtue of the mitzvah of Shvisa, and therefore we can make this the following analogy according to the Rambam. To the same extent that the Rambam in Palochet Tes of Perek Gimel prohibits even a Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug on Yom Kippur. Why? Because it still constitutes a Maisa Sicha, and therefore it's included on the mitzvah of Shvisa. So to Hu Adin, for Hu Atam, that any Rechitza, says the Rambam, would be prohibited on Yom Kippur. The same way Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug is prohibited on Yom Kippur because it undermines the mitzvah of Shvisa, so too a Rechitza She'ena Shel Tainug would be prohibited on Yom Kippur, because it undermines the mitzvah of Shvisa. Because even if the Rechitza is not for the purpose of Hanah of Tainug, nevertheless it's a Maisa Rechitza, it's defined as an act of Rechitza, and the Torah commands me on Yom Kippur to be Shoveis from the act of Rechitza, no less than I do from the act of Sicha, and therefore the Rambam consistently would prohibit a Sicha She'ena Shel Tainug and a Rechitza Shalena Shel Tainug on Yom HaKippur. And if you think I'm excited about this, you got it straight. I am very, very excited about this. This, because Alan came to me this morning, he said, oh, I see you're giving us a Chazar Shir on what you said last week. You know, because I see the same Mara Mekoymus. I used to have the same experience with my Talmidim back in Mevaseret. Avi Moshe may remember back in the day in Mevaseret when I used to give Chas V'Shalom. One of the Maram HaKoymus was on tomorrow's page that was on yesterday's page. And the Talmidim were up in arms and said, Rebbe, we already covered this. But the answer is, now we have a grasp. Whatever we said last week is fine. I even have it up online on the YU site so you could listen to it. But listen to what I'm saying now. This is Emes La'amita. There's a mitzvah of Shvisa on Yom HaKippurim. That's what we have to know. That's the Yesoda Yesodas of the Rambam Shita. And that's why the Rambam is not going to tolerate these distinctions between Tainug and Einah Shel Tainug. If it constitutes Sicha, if it constitutes Rechitza, it's a Maisa Sicha, Maisa Rechitza, it is prohibited. And that's it. Sof pasuk. It undermines the mitzvah of shvisa. And here, one second, I'm very excited. Before Alan's cash, I just want to just enjoy this one more level, so to speak, and ask you the following question. If we're correct in the Rambam, and Tisha B'Av has no mitzvah of what? Of Shvisa. We don't find anywhere that there's mitzvah of Shvisa on Tisha B'Av. In fact, the whole institution of Tisha B'Av, of Tainis Tzibur as a concept, is all Derabbanan, so you're not going to find a mitzvah of Shvisa. Then, the Rambam holds that what kind of Rechitza... Well, let's talk first about Sicha. So what kind of Sicha would undermine the mitzvah of Tainus? Only a Sicha shall Tainuk. And here the Rambam is on the same, he's on the same page as Tosfos, and that's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Tainus Perkei Halacha Yud, the Asur B'Sicha shall what? Shall Tainuk. But Sicha Sheina shall Tainuk is not a stira, it doesn't undermine the kiyum of tainus, of inuy of a tainus, when there's no mitzvah of shvisa. Oh, but Rabbosai, did you see the resha, the first part of Perkei Halacha Yud? You probably didn't, because I put it in small letters. And that was just to fool you, right? But let's take a look at the Rambam in the resha of Perkei Halacha Yud. Avi Moshe, you getting any nostalgia over here? You know, for the good old days?
Yeah, okay. Nostalgia every time we're in the barn.
Oh, okay, fine. Ubros umenikos. I take that as a compliment. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, okay. Just good. Ubros umenikos misanos umashlimos b'Tisha B'Av. Good. That's not relevant to us. That has to do with Tisha B'Av as a Tainus Tzibur, and it's a reflection, if you will, of Yom Kippur, which is the paradigmic Tainus Tzibur. But then the Rambam says the following. The Asur Berechitza, and here I was waiting for the Rambam to say Shel Tainug or Shel Hadnah, something like that. And then he says, Bein Bechamin, Bein Bitzonein, V'afil Lahoshit Etzbo B'mayim. Does that sound, Rabbosai, vaguely familiar to you? It is word for word what the Rambam told us in Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph of Hilchas Yom HaKippur. And therefore, Rabbosai, I submit to you the following conclusion, which seems to undermine a lot of what we said today, and is a very tenuous position, that the Rambam holds the following. With regard to Sicha, the Rambam embraces the sheet of Tosfos and limits the Isur Sicha on Tisha B'Av to Sicha Shel Tainuk. And the reason for that is because the Sicha Sheinu Shel Tainuk doesn't undermine Inuy. But with regard to the Isur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av, the Rambam all of a sudden stretches, you know, he stands himself erect and he's not willing to bend one iota in the presence of Tosfos, and he insists that Rechitza on Tisha B'Av is an absolute prohibition, all inclusive, with no leniency with regard to Rechitza Shalena Shel Tainuk. And my proof to that conclusion is twofold. First of all, if the Rambam held that just like in Sicha on Tisha B'Av, the Isur is limited to Sicha Shel Tainuk, he should have told me that. And secondly, not only has the Rambam omitted the heter of Sicha Sheinu Shel Tainuk, or if you will, limited the Isur Rechitza to Rechitza Shel Tainuk the way he did in Sicha, but moreover, the Rambam's language defining the scope of Isur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av is identical to his language in Shvisas Asar. They're both in Sefer Zmanim, just that Tainius is at the end and Shvisas Asar is somewhere in the middle. So the Rambam seems to ditto or duplicate the Isur Rechitza and its scope in Tainios, meaning in Tisha B'Av, exactly the way he formulated in Hilchas Yom HaKippur. So my question to you is as follows, and it's a very difficult question. If we're reading the Rambam correctly, then why is it that the Rambam, with regard to the Isur Sicha on Tisha B'Av, is mekel like Tosfos, allowing you a Sicha Sheinu Shel Tainuk? With regard to Rechitza, the Rambam himself seems to get very strict about it, and he upgrades the Isur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av with that of Yom HaKippur. You're going to tell me, well, maybe there's the mitzvah of Shvisa on Tisha B'Av. I can't tolerate that. Where do we find the mitzvah of Shvisa on Tisha B'Av? The whole institution of Tisha B'Av is the Rabbanan. If you're talking about a mitzvah Rabbanan and Tisha B'Av, you're talking about Inui and Tainus. But you're not talking about Shvisa. So why would the Rambam postulate an all-inclusive Isur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av, as if to say that the very act of Rechitza is Asur? What about a Rechitza Sheni Shel Tainus? And Rabbosai, I derive a mathematical conclusion. I don't understand this conclusion, but I'm just, if I were a mathematician, I would have to say the following. The Rambam holds that every single rechitza, by definition, is a rechitza shel taina. The Rambam in Hilchas Sicha is willing to differentiate between two categories of Sicha. There's a Sicha which is shel taina, but there's also at the same time a Sicha she'ena shel taina. But when it comes to rechitza, the Rambam refuses to admit a distinction between two categories of rechitza. There's one category of rechitza mitchiloso v'ad sofo. When we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we should say rechitza shem rechitza echad hu. There is one indivisible definition of rechitza. The moment you expose your body, and I don't know why, I can't explain this to you, but the Rambam sheet is azoy. You expose your body to an act of cleansing. The Rambam holds that act of cleansing, if you dip your body or part of your body into water, and it doesn't matter whether it's hot or cold, that itself gives a certain element of tainug, of pleasure to the body. Sicha is a much more sophisticated, abstract kind of action. Sometimes it gives you pleasure, but sometimes it is pursued not for the sake of pleasure. And you can, so whereas Sicha lends itself to two definitions and two descriptions, you can categorize Sicha under Tainug, or Sicha under She'ena Shel Tainug. Rechitza does not allow that subcategorization. You cannot define Rechitza as either Shel Tainug or She'ena Shel Tainug, because there's always an element of Tainug in Rechitza. But if that be the case, then I have a problem. Is there a rechitza that's mutter, whether it be on Yom Kippur, whether it be on Tisha B'Av? And if I can find a rechitza that is muteris, again, not litzar chola, I'm not talking about chola, that's a different halacha, but a rechitza that by definition is permissible, then I have a problem. Because if my definition of rechitza is such that rechitza is always shel tainug, there's always an element of tainug in rechitza, how could the halacha tolerate any sort of leniency with regard to any rechitza whatsoever? And I did find a case in the Rambam which I think indicates that there is a rechitza that's permissible. Anybody know what I have in mind? Tevila, exactly. The mitzvah of tevila. Take a look at the Rambam. In Hilchas Shvisas Asur Paragim Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, V'chol chayve tevilos tovlim kedarkon bein b'tisha b'av bein b'yom ha-kippurim.
Which chayve tevilos is he talking about?
Let's assume he's talking about two categories. The classical category of a chayve tevil on Yom Kippur be whom? The Kohen Gadol, of course. But let's even extend it, as I'll try to demonstrate that in just a minute, to even someone who's contracted tumah, and he has to remove that tumah on Yom Kippur. And for that he needs tevila. Maybe that would also be included.
Like a
Balkari, for example.
Or a Nazir.
Well, I don't know about a Nazir. Nazir is not Tommy, but he could become Tommy.
Or,
yeah. A Nazir is meant to be tar. You know, we don't like a Navi to become...
A
Mitzorah, right, correct. So Rabbosai, let's just analyze this concept over here. And the plaque grows thicker because take a look at the Rambam in Hilchas Tfila. The Rambam in Hilchas Tfila wants to know whether or not I'm allowed to wash Netilas Yadayim on Yom HaKippurim and on Tisha B'Av. And I would have thought that's a fascinating question, and maybe, you know, it's a rechitza she'ena shel tainug, because he's only washing himself for the purpose of mitzvahs netilas yadayim, we'll call negel vasa, whatever you'll call it, and not for the sake of tainug. But then I'm in deep trouble, because we've just postulated that the Rambam has an all-inclusive definition of the Isur Achitza, which doesn't tolerate any distinction between Shaltainig and Ein Shaltainig, or the way we formulate it mathematically, that every Rechitza has an element of Tainig to it.
So it's
got to
be
Osir. So I was very excited. I was very happy. Not so happy about the Rambam in Tmila, but at least happy about the Rambam in Etilus Yadayim. The Rambam in Etilus Yadayim tells me, in Perek Zion, he has a whole list of brachas that we have to recite on a daily basis, one of which is Etilus Yadayim. Asher Kitshanu Mitzosu Tzimonu Al Etilus Yadayim. Says the Rambam, there's one exception to that rule. And that is Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. On Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, don't even dream of Etilus Yadayim. It's not in the radar screen. And the Rambam is postulating that even though I might be motivated and interested in Rechitza for the purpose, my intention is for the purpose of reciting this wonderful bracha on the Netilas Yadayim, which I do the other 363 days of the year, on these 2 days I don't recite that bracha. Don't even dream of it. Why? Because the way we said it, it's very lishitas, very beautiful. Every rechitza, by definition, is a rechitza shel time. But then I get to the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'i Sofer, Gimel Halacha Beis, and the Rambam says that chayvei tfilos is tovlim kedarkon, bein b'tisha b'av, bein b'yom HaKippur. Well, it's hard to say it's a Kohen Gadol because of Tisha B'Av. You know, if it was only Yom Kippur and this Rambam would have limited his discussion to Yom HaKippurim, perhaps I could say that the mitzvah of Tefillah on Yom HaKippurim somehow trumps the mitzvah of Shvi'is on Yom HaKippurim. You know, you have a conflict here between two mitzvahs. On the one hand, the Torah says to be shoveis from Rechitza. On the other hand, the Torah tells the Kohen Gadol and commands him to be rocheitz and do his Tefillah. But if the Rambam extends this to apply even to Tisha B'Av, then he's not limiting himself to Tfilas Kohen Gadol. He's talking about Tfilas Tomei, whatever the Tomei, whatever the Tum is. Again, we're not learning Tum and Tara, thank God, because for that I would need about 2 years of preparation. But whatever it is, if it's a Tfilah for the sake of Tara. And then the Rambam is going to discuss Bizman HaZeh, for example, what happens in our time if a person's a Malkeri, and he wants to be tovel b'mikvah. So the Rambam Hilchos Shvi'is also says, wait a minute, you want to extend, you know, I gave you a heter for tefillah on Yom HaKippurim, but you want to extend it to the case of a Valkeri. Bizman HaZeh. So the Rambam implies that if it would have been Bizman HaMikdash, then Ein Hachinami, a Valkeri would be permitted to be tovel b'mikvah on Yom HaKippurim itself. But because it's Bizman HaZeh, the Rambam says, he's not allowed to be rocheitz, even for the sake of Tfilas Valkeri. I don't know if any of you know people, you probably do know people who have the minug. It's only a minug, Bizman HaZeh, being tovel mikaryam. Back in the day it was the Takonis Ezra, but today it's only a minug. And those who want to be tovel on Yom HaKippurim, Machmas Kiryon, the Rambam says you're not allowed to do that. Again, I'm not paskining here, but that's Zoy Shteyt Rambam. So if your Hasidish friends are going to the mikvah on Yom HaKippurim, you have to ask them on what they're not going to quote the Rambam for you, that's for sure. And the Rambam adds three words here. He says, more than three words, he says, She'ena tovel bizman hazeh tar mipnei tumas mes. In other words, what kind of tefillah is allowed on Yom HaKippurim and on Tisha B'Av? Tefillah HaMetaheres. If a person makes the transition between a state of Tumah and a state of Tara, that tefillah is acceptable. But if at the end of the day, even after his tefillah, he remains in a state of Tumah, meaning that tefillah does not have the power to engender a state of Tara, such a tefillah is prohibited. You'll ask me a question, but it's not l'shem tainu. The answer is because the Rambam doesn't have this distinction between tefillah or rechitza l'shem tainu, rechitza sheina shel tainu. Every rechitza is prohibited, with one exception. And that's a tefillah which has the impact of transferring my status from that of a tamei and making me into it through this transition of tar. In other words, what is the Rambam telling me about the nature of tefillah? Again, I'm talking about an effective tefillah. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have it, but an effective tefillah, it's not what? It's not rechitza. So now it comes out that we have three categories. We've got one category of rechitza according to Tosfos, which is a rechitza shel tainuk. We have another category according to Tosfos of rechitza she'ena shel tainuk. The Rambam, on the other hand, says there ain't no such animal. Every rechitza, by definition, is a rechitza shel tainug, and therefore, bein shel tainug, bein she'ena shel tainug, it's a rechitza which is prohibited because it has an element of tainug. On Yom Kippur, it's prohibited because it undermines the mitzvah of shvisa, and on Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited because it undermines inui. Now we have a third category of rechitza, which the Rambam is unwilling to define as rechitza. He says that there's a new category which has to be left outside of the chevrashah of rechitza. We cannot give him membership, give it or her membership into the category of rechitza. And that's what? Tevila, says the Rambam. What kind of tevila is not defined as rechitza? It has its own nature, its own complexion, its own chaloshem. If it's mitah, if it's a tevila ha-mitaheres, and it effectuates a change in the person, halachically, before he went into the mikvah, he was tamei, and now pidin, by virtue of the chal shem tefilis tar, such a tefila is not rechitza, and the Rambam says if it's not rechitza, it's muteres, bein b'tisha b'av, bein b'yom ha-kippur, says the Rambam. As far as Yom HaKippur, as far as Bizman HaZeh is concerned, says the Rambam, with all the respect to the tefila, but it doesn't accomplish it.
Even
well, so what about a tefillah of a ger? So I don't know. The tefillah of a woman is going from a state of tuvah l'tara, then it might be mutter. I mean, again, I'm not paskining for you, but conceptually, according to the Rambam, if the state of tuvah is removed by tefillah, again, you have to know a lot of hilchas tuvah l'tara, then it should be mutter. As far as the status of a ger is concerned, that I don't know. I would be tempted to think that tefillah's ger technically should be muteres, beim yom ha-kippur, beim tisha b'av. Again, I don't know if there's any reason to do it on these days. You might want to postpone. Well, both at the end of this Mishnah, because again, my goal for today, depending upon. Yeah, go ahead. No, I didn't mean that. I just meant the change of status gives it a chal shem tevila. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. What is the business here about Tevi, Avdo, Shalram Gamliel? Now, Tevi passed away. It was a very sad kind of situation. You know, we know great things about him all over Shas. But nevertheless, it's very strange that the Adon, in this case, Ram Gamliel, was Makabel Tanchumin. Let's see the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eimek Kishemes Tevi Avdo Kibel Olav Tanchumin. Amalo Talmidov. And he says, no, I was Mekabel Tanchumin on my Eved, he's a kosher, and so forth and so on. Now, Rabosai, you can define Kabbalah's Tanchumin in one of two ways. You can say it's a very nice thing to do. You know, it's nice to console someone who's bereaved. And that's what it is. It's an act of chesed. You know, is it not? You know, we come to visit the sick and try to cheer them up. We come to a person who's lost a tremendous amount of money and we try to cheer him up and say things will be better and we give him chizuk. We tell a person who, you know, was all excited about, you know, buying an apartment and it fell through. We tell him, don't worry, you know, Hashem will be with you, and you give him chizuk. And a person lost his eved. And his Eved was very getrai, as we say in Yiddish. He was very loyal. He was an upstanding Eved. I mean, they even mitzarf him for a minion. I don't know what they did with him. So he lost his Eved. His trustworthy Eved. Let's give him Tanchum. But Rabosai, I don't believe for 1 minute that's what's going on in this mission. Limartanu Rabbeinu Shein Mekabla Tanchumin Al Avodim. Well, what's going on over here? I lost my Eved. I mean, well, why should I be Mekabla Tanchumin? Obviously, Rabosai, Kabbalah's Tanchumin in this Mishnah is not just an act of consoling someone and giving him strength and consolation. It's much more than that. What is it, Rabosai? That's too philosophical. I need something halachic. I mean, I'm sorry. Today I'm a Litvak. What is it in halachic terms? Kabbalah's Tanchumin. Exactly. It's part of Avelus. Excellent. It's part of Avelus. It's a part and parcel of Avelus. And it's fascinating to me that there is a concept of Kabbalah's Tanchumin for an Eved. Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Eved ain't lo yichus. An Eved doesn't have yichus, which means that an Eved, even though he was Megayer himself, l'shem avdus, which means he's obligated in most mitzvahs, the large, large majority of mitzvahs, which mitzvahs is he not obligated in? The lo lo miisha, the mitzvahs of an isha. Again, whether it's only Asei Shas Magromo or extends even beyond that, that's a Mishnah Melech, very fascinating. So, but be that as it may, he has a partial gerus. So in a sense, he's a ger like any other ger. So why should there be no Tanchume Avelus according to Talmidim from Gamliel for an Eved? And the answer is because, with all due respect to a ger or an Eved, he doesn't have any what? Any relatives. Meaning, what the Talmidim were basically hurling back in the face of the Rebbe was that the Yesoda Yesodas of Avelus and Tanchumen is part of Avelus is Krovim. You need one of the Shiva Krovim. Comes along Rav Gamliel with a fascinating Chiddush. And he says, Nein, you're wrong. There is such a thing as Avelus, even if he's not a Karov. And therefore I was Mekabel Tanchumen for my Eved, he's an Eved Kosher, because there's a velus for such a person, even if he has no relatives. And you and I would therefore draw the following conclusion, that if a ger passes on, there should be a velus for the ger, and there should be Kabbalas Nichume Avelim for the ger. Because the ger is a ger kosher, a ger tzedek, and there's got to be a velus. And you'll ask me, wait a minute, Rabbi Berzon, you sound like one of these, you know, new kind of, you know, innovators. You know, you want to be politically correct. So I want to quote to you a Rambam, which always bothered my mind until I learned this Mishnah that we're learning now. And this Rambam breaks new ground in understanding what Avelus is all about. Zokta Rambam, the end of Perek Yud Gimel Chesavah, you all know this Rambam. The Rambam says, Mes she'ein lo Avelim lisnachet. It's unbelievable. Somebody died without any relatives. Classical case would be a ger of an eved, but lav dafka. You could have someone who died without any relatives. He has no children, Rachmana Litzlan, he's an ariri, or his wife passed away, or he never was married. I mean, you could have many cases of a person who dies without a velim. So you and I would have said, okay, you know, it's sad, you know, we're going to give him a kfura of Israel, but after the kfura, is pack your bags, there's nothing else to talk about. There's no room for avilus, avilus on Krovin. And the Rambam says something mind-boggling. Interesting, bimkomo, because the Rambam holds that avilus requires what's called a base avil. It's not just a din in the gavra, that the gavra is an avil. You need also a base avil. And the Rambam holds that a base avil is bimakom haniftar. Okay, it doesn't mean, don't draw conclusions that you can't, you know, remove a base level from one place and reestablish it elsewhere, but in the pure, you know, concept of the abstract concept of base ovel is bimkomo, and the Rambam says kol shivus yimei avelus. The Rambam himself calls it avelus, and therefore sharam miskadzim aleihem. And what is the sharam going to do? They're going to be menachem and ovel. Who are the avelim? Rabosai, 10 Jews, kosher Jews from the city, and they become the avelim. And there's a kiyum of Avelus for 7 days with Tanchumei Avel, Kabbalas Tanchumim, and there's no relative. Is again, I derive the conclusion for the Rambam that the Halacha recognizes a kiyum Avelus without relatives. And if there's no one to be Misabel, we're going to set up, and you know, I hate to use the word an artificial base level, but it's not artificial. It's halachically generated, and it has all the dinim of base Avel. And the Rambam says we're going to be Menachem Avi. And the Rambam seems to say it's a chiyuv.
And you said shiva for God?
That I don't know. That's already for the, you know, for the other type of rabbis. But you know, for us, you know, again, you could, if you'd like, you could somehow, the eulogize a guy who died if he's an upstanding guy. You all know that there was a Druze policeman who was killed in Har Nof, you know, mamish 5 minutes away from my house in a pigua, and Rabbi Rubin, who's one of the most outstanding poskim in the whole, you know, whole Jewish world. He's written Sparim of Psak, and he has a great shul. The pigua happened in his shul. He went to eulogize this Druze policeman who decided to face the mechablim, and he lost his life. So yes, we have to give all the respect. And for example, the halach is very sensitive to darkei sholom, but the technical kiyum of a beis ovel with avelus, that I wouldn't say. Tanchumei ovel in the first category, meaning as a kiyum of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, or as the Rambam says, the rachma of al kol masav, right? The Rambam says that with mefarnes goyim, that yes. Yeah, you feel.
You could make a distinction between the Rambam's case and the case of Rabbi Gamliel. Simply to put, Rabbi Gamliel was feeling lost. These 10 people are not feeling any loss per se.
Correct.
You wouldn't seem to think that the story of the Gemara is that somewhere Gamliel said, "You sit instead of me."
That's why I say the Rambam's psak goes very far. The Rambam is marchik lechet. He's got a concept of tanchumei ovel when we don't see anyone who's experiencing avelus. The Rambam doesn't make a condition that these asor anoshim were very close to the person and they lost a close friend. He just calls them ksherim.
Why do you need 10?
10 because in order to create a tzibur of misavlim, we need 10. And the Rambam wants this to represent an avelus of the entire tzibur.
But you don't do that in a regular case.
No, but in this case, where we're creating, as we said before, this artificial base avel, this base avel has to represent the entire tzibur. There's no one, when there's no one else to be misavel, it falls by how should I say, the fallback position is that the entire tzibur is represented. Rabbos, again, we're not studying Hilchos Avelus today. I just wanted to point out that Lefi Ani Hizdaiti, the Rambam may have found a source for his halacha here in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Harvey, go ahead.
We know one Jewish family who sat shiva for one of the righteous amongst the goyim who helped Jews during the Shoah.
Okay.
Well, the Rabbi Yosef does in shiva.
Oh, he does? I didn't know.
And sit shiva, and certainly should say Kaddish for his biological sister.
Okay, so maybe that would also reflect this Mishnah. Rabbi Sachnitz, I did not see the true Rav Avadya Yosef, but I'm willing to stake my reputation on the following statement. Without having seen the tshuva, he's going to quote this Mishnah. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm telling you, I feel it in my bones. This is the source for any sort of again, to extend it to Goyim is something different. I don't know, you know, Harvey is telling me something, but it's not familiar to me, you know. All right, Rabosai, I would love to know if you're interested in learning a little bit of Agadato, because I want to move ahead to the third perek, Misha Beis. So the remainder of our perek is Agadato. And there's an Agadata here which I want to call to your attention. And if you take a look at the Maror Makomos on page 2, your flip side, you will see that various Amoraim offered a special personal tefillah at the conclusion of their Amidah, of their Shmon Esrei. And the Gemara records that. And the Tili Tilim shall Amkus here in the Sugya. But just to make a siyum on the second parak of Brachas, I would like to focus on the tefillah of Rav Safra. And the tefillah of Rav Safra is very, very strange. Most of the other tefillahs you can understand on a superficial level, but Rav Safra combines three different elements together that don't seem to fit in any way into any integrated whole. And not only that, but they don't seem to make any sense. He's asking Hashem for peace in the Famalia Shalmala up in the Malachi Asharis, the world above, and also in the Famalia Shalmata down in this world, Chavuras Chachamim, Rashi says. And he also adds a third prayer that those Talmidim who don't learn Torah Lishma should learn Torah Lishma. That God should somehow give them the wisdom, the inspiration to learn Torah Lishma. And we know that Torah Lishma is on a separate level. But to integrate these three elements into one doesn't seem to make any sense. Bichlal, why is he interested in Famalia Shalmala? You know, that's not our business. We don't have any insight into what goes on in, you know, up in the celestial spheres. That's not our sphere, you know. You want to... Correct. What's that all about? That's what I'd love to know. Why is it so important? And what does it have to do with the Talmidei Chachamim down here on earth? And furthermore, what does it have to do with Limud Torah Lishma? Those are my questions. So I want to share with you something I heard from my Rebbe a zillion years ago. And I have to tell you, you know the phrase in Hebrew, bi'iravon mugbal, you know, limited liability, which means, I don't remember exactly what he said, but the flavor of it, the gist of it, I remember. If you like it, take it. If you don't, blame me for it. Okay. The Gemara tells us something about Rabbi Safra, which is absolutely amazing. And I think that if we're learning Rav Safra's own personal tefillah that he added as an addendum to Shmoneh Esrei, we should learn something about Rabbi Safra, and perhaps his tefillah reflects his midah, his essence, if you will. Every person has his own character, and certainly every one of the Talmidei Chachamim reflect and project a certain, or personify a certain particular attribute. What is the attribute of Rav Safra? And I want to show you over and over and over again, we could learn something from the life of Rav Safra about who he was. Rashi, in Masechta Makis, explains a very cryptic statement in the Gemara. The Gemara, the Agadot at the end of Makis, is trying to reduce the mitzvahs of the Torah from 613, make it easier for us, to smaller numbers. And one of them is the mitzvah of emes, of speaking the truth and avoiding sheker at all costs. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk v'dover emes bilvavo. Says the Gemara, kagon Rav Safra, period. The Gemara doesn't tell us why it is that Rav Safra is the epitome of Dover Emes Bilvo. But Rashi quotes a Shiltos of Rav Chaigon and fills in the missing blank. The story of Rav Safra is that he wanted to sell something. You know, he put out a sign, you know, you'll see it in the streets here, you know, Limchira. Now they have a cute thing, Ani Limchira, they write, you know, on a car or something like that. And unfortunately, the very moment the buyer, a potential buyer, came in to offer him, you know, the deal, he was in the middle of Kriyat Shema, of all times. So the buyer says to the seller, you know what, I'm going to pay you kach v'kach. And he mentioned the sum of money. He gets no response. Why? Because Rav Safra is too busy saying Kriyat Shema. Finally, Rav Safra, then this person jacks up the offer, and when Rav Safra finishes davening, the person said, okay, I understand that you refused my original offer, but what about, you know, I beefed up my offer, I doubled it, I tripled it, whatever it was. Rav Safra says, no. I, in my mind, wanted to sell it to you for your original offer, and that's what I'll sell it to you. The Gemara says, that's called Dover Emes Bilvavo. And the language of Rav Safra is very touching. He says, whatever you offered in the first round, that's what you're going to pay. That's what I decided to give him to you. And the Gemara in Chulin tells us another story about Rav Safra. There was a group of Chachamim that were coming into the city of Bei Mechuza. There was another group of Chachamim, amongst them Rav Safra, that were leaving. They were on their way out of Bei Mechuza, and they met along the way. And the first group says to the second group, wow, li'apei hudakasi, you left the city limits in order to be makabel, in order to welcome us in. We are absolutely touched by that. Why did you have to go to such tircha? That's a great honor and respect for us. Rav Safra said, Anan lo avi adinan dekaasi mar. We had no idea that you were on the way in. This is the famous sugya of onas dvarim, you know, not to mislead people. So Rav Safra was absolutely honest about it. And Rava there is stepping on his foot underneath the thing he's saying to my time, I'm like, okay, why did you have to say? They didn't know the difference. Let them believe, let them draw the conclusions that they want to draw the conclusions. But no, 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 no. Rav Safra is absolutely committed to the Midah of Emes. There's a famous sefer, a Musa sefer, that was written many centuries ago, called the Menoras Hamor, and he tells another story of Rav Safra. I couldn't find it in any medrash. He tells us about a similar situation in which somebody was coming on the way, and Rav Safra saw him and was going in the opposite direction, and this chassid says to Rav Safra, "Lama katarach mar kol kach? Why did you go out to such a limb, extend yourself to such sin?" This chassid came to the mistaken conclusion, Yotzal across the Hagbil Panov, that he wanted to welcome Omel of Rav Safra Yotzosia Litayel. I went for a trip. And the chassid was a little bit embarrassed about it, because here he had put himself into a situation where he said, oh yeah, Rav Safra came to in my honor. So Rav Safra wanted to be totally honest, and he wanted to tell him what it is. V'dover emes bilvavo. Rabosai, what do we see about these three stories of Rav Safra? What does he epitomize? Emes. But it's more than that, Rabosai. Dover emes, what's the next word in the pasuk? Bilvavo. If a person epitomizes emes, it's not just in the way people perceive him. It's not just in what he says to someone, which chas v'sholom might be sheker, might mislead him. It goes even beyond. It has to do with emes bilvavo. If a person is the meat of emes, he's truthful not only to others, but he's truthful to himself. Nobody knew that Rav Safra had made a decision in his mind to sell the item at that price. Only Rav Safra could have known that. And so too the other Chachamim couldn't have known why Rav Safra left the city. But Rav Safra was honest to himself. He was honest to a fault, if you will. This is the Midah of Emes, which is personified by Rav Safra without any room for compromise. It is the absolute Midah of Emes, even Klape Atzma. And now we have to see if that is something that we can emulate. And here I want to share with you the famous, perhaps the most famous Medrash in all of Medrash Rabbah, about the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to consult with the Malachi Asharis. Does man deserve to be created or not? Tony Bar Kapora. I'm sorry. Omer Av Simon. B'shoshe Bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu livra sodom nasu Malachi Asharis kitim kitim. What do they mean by kitim kitim chaburis chaburis? Anybody know? Exactly. There was a great debate on high. Mehem omrim al yivra, mehem omrim yivra. Some said thumbs up, and some said thumbs down. And the Medrash Rav Simon quotes a pasuk: Chesed v'emes nifgashu, but tzedek v'sholem nashaku. This whole debate up on high about creating man or not revolves around two different midos: the midah of emes and the midah of chesed or sholem. Emes omer. Chesed Omer Yivra, Shehu Gomel Chasod, man deserves to be created because he extends compassion and mercy. But Emes says, Al Yivra Shekulo Shkarim. And the Medrash goes on and on to say that the Mid of Sholem says, man is Kulei Ktata, he fights and he's full of friction. Ma Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, God takes the Mid of Emes and he throws it down to the ground. Vatishlach emes arts is a pasuk in Tanakh. So the Malachi Asharis say, Ribono Shel Olam, how can you do such a thing? You're being mevaza the altichsya sheyo. We'll see what that word means. And therefore, tala emes min haoretz, and emes somehow, which was submerged, now emerges from the depths of the ground. This whole medrash is a sefer chasam, it's a closed book. First of all, I don't understand what the Shakla V'Tari is all about. Chesed says create man because he does chesed. and Emes says man is full of shkarim. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Man is made up of different groups and different types. You know, there are those who are very honest. There are those who are bali chesed. They extend themselves. I don't have to tell you about the ma'isa chasodim that we see. Unbelievable time after time. Myriads of chasodim. There are those, unfortunately, who are bali k'tata. And all they do is get into fights with people. And what's that word? Those who are always in court. What's the word?
Litigious.
They're litigious. Thank you, Rav Geshen, because I need you for English. He's my English man. And when I miss a word, I go nuts because I probably haven't heard the word more than a month, and then I forget it. But in this case, I haven't heard it for a couple of years. So you know what? Let's make a decision. Achri Rabim Lahatis. You know, let's see where the rove is. I don't know exactly how you decide. But what is the debate here between the Malachim? What is the Yisoda Plukta, as we say, what are they arguing about? And furthermore, the Hemshech HaMedrash here is a Bela. God takes the meat of Emes, throws it into the ground, and then it has to emerge. What's it all about? So I heard from my Rebbe, again, Be'eravon Mugbal, as I said, in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Briscoe, that we misunderstand this Medrash, we miss the whole point. The Medrash is not asking the question, should man be created or should man not be created? That's not what it's all about. This Medrash is asking the following question. There are two midos. There's a mida of MS and there's a mida of Shalom or Chesed. And these two midos are irreconcilable. They are mutually exclusive. The meat of Emes knows no compromise whatsoever. It's absolute. Reb Chaim used to give a mashal from a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah represents Emes. Afilu kutzo shel yud. If the kutzo shel yud was made too short or too long, if it doesn't belong there, the Sefer is possible. Emes is all or nothing. Either it's truthful or it's not truthful. And then there's Chesed. If a person is going to take MS to its extreme, he's going to be a Baal Ketot. It's inevitable that he's going to get into head-on-head collisions with people and confrontations. And therefore, Shalom and Chesed says that man has to observe Shalom as a primary mode. Mishanim mitnei Hashmolim, the Gemara says, Yivam Estaf Daf Memhei. There's got to be flexibility when it comes to MS. Otherwise, there's no room for Shalom and Chesed. And so, God is creating a world which has two midos which are mutually exclusive. They contradict one or the other. Where can you reconcile these two midos? Only in the Ribono Shel Olam. Only Almighty God knows how to reconcile that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents the epitome of Emes, Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and at the same time, Oseh Shalom Bimromov, He is the one who makes Shalom. But man, on the other hand, lives in a world in which he's faced with a choice situation of either or. Either he dedicates himself to MS entirely, but then it's going to be k'tata, there's going to be difficulty and friction, or he dedicates himself to chesed and shalom, and then he's going to be a dover shkarim. He's going to have to tell lies. He's going to have to be mishanim ipnei shalom. And the answer of the Medrash is the following. That man is created in the divine image. Man can imitate God. Just as God can reconcile these two midos, man can do so as well. Pure MS, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if it's only MS, he has to throw it out, so it's got to be thrown into the ground. There's no way, no how, that man can be dedicated exclusively to MS and expect to reconcile that MS and synthesize it with Shalom and Chesed. But there's something called the Torah. In the language of the Medrash, the Torah is called Al-Tichasya. Al-Tichasya means this is the badge or the shield of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is MS in the Torah. The Torah is going to teach us how to reconcile MS and Shalom. And here I want to refer you to a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Nunches. The Gemara says, Lecha Hashem HaGedula VaGvura VaTiferes. Gedula represents Chesed. Gvura is the meat of Emes. But the Torah is Tiferes. Tiferes is the synthesis of both Gedula and Gvura, of Emes and of Chesed, of Shalom. The Torah is going to tell us how and why and when we should follow Emes and when we have to be flexible and follow Shalom. And that, Rabosai, is the Gemara in Yevamos, the next to the last source on your page. Tani Bar Kapora. Li Olam Yidavek Adam Vishlosha Dvar. A person should dedicate himself to three things. Number one, Chalitza. Number two, Avah Shalom. And number three, Hafaras Nidorin. What is going on over here? The Gemara explains that this Brisa of Bar Kapora reflects the sheet of Abishol. And Abishol, in many cases, when the Yavam is faced with two choices, either Yibum or Chalitza, he advocates Chalitza. Why? Now, if you take the meat of Emes, the meat of Emes embraces the mitzvah of Yibum. What is Yibum? A person died without Zera. Is let the Yavam be miyabe lahakim shame liachiv ames. This is the greatest ames that we can do, that we can achieve. But Rabbi Abba says, wait a minute. Abba Shol says, wait a minute. There's a problem here. Because man is not totally ames. Eino chinam, if the Yavam was totally, exclusively dedicated to ames, then Yibum would take preference. But why does the Torah prefer Chalitza in this context? Because man is not totally emes, and he's not motivated by the right and the just cause of being make him shamely zarali achiv, but rather he's dedicated to noi, to enjoy life, and he wants to get an opportunity to marry this woman, and therefore if he's shalom lishma, this is not a mitzvah Yibum. Yibum is emes, and therefore Abba Shol advocates in favor of Chalitza, taking into consideration the fact that man cannot live up to the demands of Emes, but the Torah allowed us to have another option, another alternative, namely Chalitza. And the second on the list is Hafaras Nedarim. Neder requires Emes. Al Yachel Dvoro, he has to be dedicated to the absolute strict upholding of his neder, of his word. But no. The world is made up not just of emes, but also of shalom. And if need be, there's a process called, an institution called Hafaras Nedarim, for the sake of shalom. And so too, when it comes to the third category, namely Havas Shalom, sometimes we're going to have to bend the truth for the sake of peace, for the sake of shalom. Bakei shalom v'radfeihu, David HaMelech says. And the answer is, Rabosai, that the Torah is going to guide us. The Torah represents the wisdom of Hashem. But the problem is, Rabosai, how do we learn Torah? Are we dedicated properly to the study of Torah? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Adaf Tzadites says, Omer Av Alexandri, Kola Osek by Torah Lishma, if he is dedicated to the study of Torah Lishma, is Mesim Shalom Befalmalia Shalmala, he will create peace in the upper heavens. The Malachi Asharis are fighting one with the other. One of them is waving the flag of the meat of Emes. The other is waving the flag of the meat of Shalom. Those Malachim, that Katav Malachim who wave Emes, are not willing to compromise. It's got to be pure, absolute truth, like Beit Shammai and Masechet Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin, without any flexibility, any exceptions. Emes doesn't tolerate exceptions. But he who studies Torah Lishma, he is dedicated to understand and comprehend the wisdom of the Ribbono Shel, the divine wisdom that's revealed in the Torah. He understands that he can make peace between those who are dedicated to Emes and those who are dedicated to Shalom and Chesed. He knows how to reconcile the two, to imitate the Ribbono Shel Olam, the divine creator, and achieve both goals. And therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Safra understands that I have to add a tefillah at the end of my Shmon Esrei. I, Rav Safra, I understand myself, I know myself. I personify honesty to a T, to an extent that goes even beyond. I know that in my personality I can't tolerate falsehood. I can't get myself to say sheker. I'm dedicated to MS. But, says Rav Safra, I ask you, Ribbono Shel Olam, to help me, to give me the strength, to make peace in the Famalia Shel Malah, to somehow integrate both MS and Shalom, MS and Chesed, to understand that there is such a concept of Mishanim Itnei Shalom. There is a way of integrating the two and synthesizing them. And therefore, Rav Safra turns to the Talmidei Chachamim, and he says to them, you have to be those who can epitomize this concept of following the wisdom of Hashem, the wisdom that's embodied in the Torah. You have to be dedicated not just to Emes, but also to Shalom. And Rav Safra concludes his tefillah, and with this we'll conclude our shiur for today, by praying to Hashem, not only to make peace, but also to encourage Lomdei Torah, to study Torah Lishma. Because he who studies Torah Lishma is not just studying Torah, as many people misinterpret it, for the sake of the mitzvah of Torah. Mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. That's not what Torah Lishma is about. Torah Lishma means for the sake of knowing Hashem, for the sake of embracing His wisdom, of imitating Hashem in every way. And if in Yirtzeh Hashem a person will study Torah Lishma, and we wish on all of us, like the tefillah of Rav Safra, that we should be zochet to Torah Lishma, to learn how to be like Hashem, to integrate both Shalom and Emes, to take all the different midos that seem to be mutually exclusive and contradict one the other, that creates a sort of split in the Famalia Shalma, to somehow sew them all together and integrate them into one whole, one synthesis, and therefore be marve kvod shamayim in this world, kein yiratzon. That's right. That Sora right said that Adoni's okay, right?
It's right. It's this week's parsha.
Yeah. Mishka. Yeah.